I have in my hand a letter of recommendation. We still use letters of recommendation today. Certainly when folks are applying for a job, many times they will request someone to write for them a letter of recommendation. Many times our young people, when they graduate from high school, in the application process or applying for a scholarship, they will ask me to write them a letter of recommendation. I've written many of these. And now, if you're seeking a job and you ask someone to write a letter of recommendation for you, you're very careful about who you ask to do that. You're hoping that they will certainly characterize you in a positive manner. In light of that, when Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth, now he, under the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit, started that church. But when you get into 2 Corinthians, you know that there's bickering and problems going on. And one of the problems was some of the people in the church were trying to discount the Apostle Paul. And so Paul was saying, do I have to get some letters of recommendation for you? And then he shares something that is a spiritual truth about believers. Now, in the case of the church at Corinth, he is saying that you people are our letter of recommendation. But he puts this in a way that helps us understand one of the spiritual truths about who we are as believers. And I want you to see that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. The scripture says, you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So now, obviously, when I write a letter of recommendation for somebody, well, I don't write it anymore. I don't even use a typewriter anymore. Anybody even have a typewriter anymore? You know, but you type it up on the screen and you print it out with your ink cartridge. And so it is on paper and it is with ink. But you take that letter of recommendation and you'll usually send it to somebody. And the idea is that you get this letter of recommendation in someone's hand so that they might be impressed or influenced to think something particular about some other person. That's how we utilize these letters of recommendation. But this verse here says that the letter or the paper really is the human heart. And the ink, instead of being ink that's fadable and can smear and all that kind of, the ink is the Spirit of the living God. So instead of paper and ink, the heart and the Spirit of the living God. And the message in our heart is to be given to some person so that they might be influenced, so that they might have an impression about somebody other than ourselves, that being Jesus Christ. And so Christians are letters of Christ written by the Spirit of God. And we are to be recommending, in a sense, Jesus Christ. Now, so much of the time when we're doing a letter of recommendation, if it's for a job interview, obviously a person is seeking a position in a company, let's say. And so we're writing that letter of recommendation to give that company an idea about this person who is seeking this position. Well, when you and I have our human hearts engraved by the Spirit of the living God, God is placing us like a letter of recommendation in somebody's path because Jesus is seeking a position in that person's life. And we know what that position is. Jesus is seeking the position of king of their heart. And so, he wants to use us in that way. And of course, if you think about the book of 2 Corinthians, you recognize in a couple of chapters, in chapter 5, he talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. The Bible talks about us being used in so many different ways to get in our minds that our life is to make an impression on others, not about ourselves. When I write a letter of recommendation, I'm not trying to make an impression about myself. I'm trying to make an impression about somebody else. And our life is to be making an impression about Jesus Christ. Many years ago, 25 years ago, I was in a church and we were looking for a youth minister. And so we had sent out requests and we got a bunch of resumes and we had dwindled those resumes down. And so one of the things that you do after you kind of dwindle them down to a few that you want to examine, you look on their resume and it usually has a list of references. Well, I looked at this one young man's resume, and when I looked at the list of references, I recognized the name of one of the references as a man I had met when I was in seminary. And so I picked up the phone, and I called him. Of course, you recognize when you're writing your own resume, you put people on your resume that you know will give a good word about you. I mean, that's, you kind of expect that. And so I picked up the phone since I knew this guy. His name's John. And I called John and said, "Hey, John, this is Matt. I got this young man. We're looking to see if he's the right fit for our minister of youth. And I just thought I'd get to know him a little bit better through you. He listed you as a reference. And could you tell me a little bit about him?" Well, to my surprise, John immediately warned me, "Do not hire that young man." And man, my mind's starting to swim all of a sudden because I'm just, you know, I mean, he put him on his list of references. Surely I'm going to get a word. "Do not hire that young man." And so one of my immediate thoughts was this. This young prospective youth minister would have never listed him as a reference had he known the report I was going to get. And so the question comes, would Jesus list me as a reference? Would Jesus list you as a reference? You know, obviously, Jesus needs no exaggerated embellishment. And I say that because a lot of times when somebody says, "Hey, will you be a reference to me?" You're thinking, "Okay, yeah, I know I can say this good about you." And say, "Yeah, I'll be a reference." And so you try to promote that person in the best way that you know how. Well, Jesus certainly needs no exaggerated embellishments. He's already wonderful, amen? He's already glorious and perfect and just, he is the fit for anyone's heart to be the king of their heart. But is it not true that sometimes when we encounter others, we fail miserably to give a good representation of who Jesus is? Now, the other side of the coin is, some people do quite well. So when we ask this question, would Jesus list you as a reference? What I mean by that in real time, in real life, you're going about your week, I'm going about my week, and the Lord has somebody out here that he's seeking a position in their life. He's seeking to be the king of their heart. And he's going to use one of us as we cross their path to give him a reference, to characterize him through how we're living. And so the question is, will he use me or you this coming week as a letter of reference for him? Or will he bypass me and bypass you and use somebody else? Are we consistently expressing the Lord's character, his love, and his grace? You think about where our nation has been lately. I'm going to guess that most of you, in some form or fashion, have supported or endorsed a certain candidate. And you can think about that in our recent local elections. You can think about that in state elections. You can think about that certainly in national elections. And so, you know, you have endorsed a person, a party, a cause, and of course then we want to ask ourselves the question, are we endorsing Jesus Christ with that same kind of energy? Most of us, at least the people we live around or work with, most of the people around us know very clearly who we endorsed for local political positions, for state, for national. Why do they know that? Because we've been verbal about it, or because of the way we live, they know which principles by which we live, and so therefore for whom we would have voted. Most people know that. The question is, can they tell very clearly that when we're living our daily life that we recommend Jesus Christ? Can they tell that? Can I be a letter of recommendation for Jesus Christ? You are a letter of Christ written with the Spirit of the living God, not with ink, but written on your heart, such that that comes out of our life. Engraved is His essence in the depth of our soul. You know, when you think about that, if you were applying for a job, and they said, okay, you need six references. Could you just randomly pick out the people who know you and just randomly put any six on there because they all know exactly who you are and they're all going to say the same thing? Or are you going to very particularly pick those that you know because they owe you or because you've done it for them or whatever, you're going to put them on there because you know they're going to say the right thing, whatever it is? And so I got to thinking about that, and I thought, okay, so this week, again, God has things He's doing within His kingdom. And He has called us to be involved in that. He has some very specific people that He wants to be impressed and influenced about Him. And so the question is, could He just randomly pick any of us to cross that person's path, knowing that we're going to give Jesus a great reference? You ever think about that? Can He just randomly pick any one of us and we'll honor Him in a spur of the moment? Not you can plan it, not this coming Thursday at 2 o'clock, I'm going to cause you to cross somebody's path and you'll have a couple hours so that you can muster up the right kind of strength and know how to act right, but just in your daily life, how you're living, He can cause you to cross somebody's path and you're going to give Him a great reference that is going to recommend Him who is seeking a position in somebody else's life, and He knows that in you, He's going to get a great reference. Would Jesus list you as a reference? And of course, obviously, if you're not a good reference, why would He use you? Why would He list you? Okay? But if you're not being used, you've got to ask, why am I not being used? If Jesus has not listed you as a reference, why not? Now, obviously, we'd say that lost people are not on that list. He's not going to list lost people to be a good reference of Him. And so if people are just churchgoers but they're not saved, well, He's not going to utilize them in that way. But I think if you call yourself a Christian, you believe you're a Christian, I think there are two very clear reasons why He won't use you this week. Number one, because you're really not a good reference right now. You are not going to give a good recommendation for Christ simply because you are not living right. How you are living, how you're expressing yourself is not mirroring the character of Jesus Christ. So what's the other reason? The other reason you're simply not available. You know, a lot of times if you feel like, oh, you know, the Lord may want me to say something here, but I'm just not available. I got other things to do. I'm too busy right now. Would Jesus list you as a reference? Well, Luke 11:23, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." Very clear there, isn't it? If you're not with me, you're against me. You know, Christians love the gray area, but most of us know the gray area is the lukewarm area, and the lukewarm area is what God vomits. Okay? So that's really not a good area to be in. And Jesus said, "You're either with me or you're not with me. You're either gathering with me." This is the God who desires all men to be saved, and so we're trying to recommend Jesus to all people gathering in for the kingdom. He said, "You're either gathering with me or you're scattering." And a lot of folks really are content thinking, well, I'm just kind of in a stationary moment. Well, the Bible does not give that option. Jesus says you're either gathering or scattering. So therefore, He gives biblical warnings. In Luke chapter 17, In Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "It is inevitable that stumbling blocks should come, but woe to him through whom they come." As a matter of fact, the King James Version uses the word offenses. Offenses will come. We get offended all the time. But offenses will come. Offenses to what? Offenses to recommending Jesus the way we should. As a matter of fact, the word talks about, the background of the word could be used as a word for snare. It's the same Greek word as we find in 1 Corinthians 1:23, where it says, "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, an offense, a snare." Scandalon, most of you know that word. To the Greeks, foolishness. So if I'm not a good reference for Christ, not only am I failing to be that recommendation and giving him honor in that, but I'm also a stumbling block, which comes with the warning in verse 2. It says, "It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble." Have you ever been a stumbling block? Have you ever been an offense rather than a recommendation? This is yes. Yes, we have. And so it's like, my goodness, this is a strong biblical warning. Yes, it is. So it's like, Lord, forgive us for the many, many times we have been a terrible reference for you. Aren't you glad God's forgiving? But God is wanting to use me and you as a letter of reference. Okay? He's saying, I want to use you as a letter of reference. And some of us are thinking, boy, I hadn't been where I need to be. That's okay. Praise the Lord for the blood. He can cleanse us. Amen? And so as you look at that, it's fascinating in this passage, because in Luke 17, 3, he says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him." And there's a lot to be said here. But first of all, let's talk about be on your guard. Be on your guard because of stumbling blocks. You might be one. Your brother might be one. Obviously, brother here is generic. Could be brothers or sisters. Okay. Be on your guard. You might be a stumbling block, or your brother might be a stumbling block. And in this particular case, if your brother sins or sins against you. And so, first of all, you've got to be on your guard that when your brother does something wrong, that you handle this correctly. Well, it's easy when somebody does something wrong around us. We do a couple of different things. One of the things that we do, if we see a brother or sister in Christ do something wrong, a lot of us get relief. Say, why do we get relief? Well, it's like, I'm not the only one to mess up. Well, I'm glad they messed up. Now, that's kind of a natural human feeling, right? But the scripture here, as Jesus is giving instruction, he's saying, no, listen, I want all of my family to stay away from being a stumbling block. And in the context of our message, he wants to use us all as a letter of recommendation. And so it's not like, I'm glad I'm not the only one, they messed up. Another thing you have to be on guard against is sometimes we get a little self-righteous. Well, I'm not that bad. Or we get a little judgmental. Or we get a little angry about that. And so know that you and I recognize, again, the goal and the purpose, see, all Christians recommending Jesus. Matter of fact, if you're back in the 2 Corinthians passage, when Paul's talking about do we need a letter of commendation again, the word there is simply to stand with. It's like when you're asked to be a reference for somebody, it's saying, will you stand with me and with who I am? And so Jesus is saying, I want you to be someone who is seen as standing with Jesus, just like the disciples were in the book of Acts. They were recognized as uneducated men, but that they had been with Jesus. They stood with Jesus. And so you and I are to stand with Jesus. And so when a stumbling block or an offense happens, you and I are going to recognize that we need to do something about it. It is inevitable that they will come, as he said. So what will we do in that moment? When we mess up, when somebody else messes up, what do we do in that moment? We rebuke if it's one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, Or if it's us, we repent. Now, do we do that? Oh, no. That's what Jesus said. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Remind him, remind her of who they are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. We're all to be listed as references on the resume of Jesus Christ. We're all to be able to give a letter of recommendation for him. And so we rebuke. Or if it's us, we repent. And one of the things you've got to love about this passage is the fact that this word repent is here is showing that even though the warning was as stern as it'd be better to be drowned in the sea, it's saying repentance is available. Getting right is available. Praise God. Amen. Listen, how many times have we failed the Lord and yet his forgiveness is unbelievably patient and long-suffering, and he wants us to repent. So we rebuke or we repent. Now you go to verse 4, and you notice in verse 4 it says, and if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. And so, wow, can you imagine somebody sinning against you that much? Matter of fact, if somebody sinned you 3 times one morning, and they keep coming back, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You know, and about the 4th time you're thinking, they couldn't be sorry, because if they were really sorry, they wouldn't have done it the 4th time. And they do it the 5th time, and you're thinking, this is getting ridiculous. But you know, that's not what the Bible says for us to do. The Bible says if he sins against you 7 times and comes back, I'm sorry, I repent, I want to get right, forgive him. In other words, you should be in such a state of forgiveness, guarding your own heart from bitterness, whatever it may be, that whenever someone sins against you, however many times, have forgiveness ready. Why? Why would I do that to some knucklehead who apparently has a problem? Well, we remember that each of us has a problem. And we love it when people forgive us. We forgive ourselves quite easily, don't we? But the reason we forgive is because we are a recommendation for Jesus Christ. We are a representation of Jesus Christ. We are not simply expressing our emotions about what's happening. We are here to be references for Jesus Christ. And who is he? Look what it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, in the last part of the verse. It says, our God is himself kind to ungrateful and evil men. Now, one of the things I hope you'll recognize when you're reading the Bible, and the Bible has told us to do something, like Jesus said, hey, if you've got somebody that sins against you 7 times, forgive them. You know, those are one of those verses we like to leave out of the Bible. But no, if somebody sins against you 7 times, forgive them. You realize that when the Bible gives us a command, God never asks us to do something that he hasn't already done. God never asks us to be something that he isn't already himself. And so when you recognize that, you recognize that he's not putting some kind of insurmountable task upon us. It's insurmountable to us in and of ourselves, but we are not by ourselves, if indeed we're true Christians, because we have the Spirit of the living God engraved in the depth of our soul. And so the reason we forgive is not because, well, I'm just a nice person. The reason we forgive is because we're representing our God who himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. So, if we represent him appropriately, that forgiveness is going to flow because it flows in his life. And as we looked at in our series of sermons on the model prayer, we recognize the warning that came from that in Matthew 6:15. If you do not forgive men, your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgression. So let's go back to what we're looking at there in Luke 17:4. He says, and if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. And so in other words, it's fascinating to me that God not only, this would have been sufficient had he provided simply that he would forgive us. But do you realize that in commanding the church to live out this life that is his character, he's not only provided forgiveness from himself, but he's provided forgiveness in the body of Christ by commanding us to forgive one another without calculation. Isn't that good news? And we see that the same thing in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you be tempted. In other words, we're all in that place where we can be tempted. We're all have failed before. But those who are spiritual, those who understand the Spirit of God and are representing Him appropriately, He has provided that in His fellowship, someone who's caught in sin, yes, they did it, they were wrong, they messed up. But what's the desire of the Holy Spirit? To restore them. Again, He's not asking us to do something that He hasn't already done. And in His grace, He wants to forgive us. I like the way it's put in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. And you notice, because He's already done that for us. He is our example. As He says, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So, here we are. Would Jesus list you as a reference today? This coming week, you know that God is busy. We would say we know God is busy. God is busy in this world. He wants to win the world to Christ. And I think it'd be great if 100 people this week in the United States of America would get saved. Would you agree with that? Well, wouldn't that be great? Considering the state of our nation, I think 100 more saved people on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ would make an impact, because the impact is coming from the Spirit of the living God. Wouldn't that be great? So don't you imagine Jesus is working toward that? And so He's going to want you to cross the paths with somebody. And can He randomly just pick any of us, because we are the kind of reference, or we'll give a letter of recommendation in such a way that it will actually honor the Lord. You know, if you ever look at a resume, a lot of times, sometimes if you fill out an application for a job, they already kind of give you a form that you have to fill out. And part of those forms sometime will include strengths and weaknesses. Of course, now we're trying to recommend Jesus. He has no weaknesses, but we have to put down strengths there. And sometimes they ask for, what are your particular skills? And when I think about that, I can't help but think about Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, that's not just, I like you. This is that agape love where love your enemies. Okay? This is that strength and skill that only comes from Jesus Christ. And the strength of joy, the joy that's in our heart because of all that Jesus is, that overcomes everything else that's going on in our life. The same thing with peace. Patience. My goodness, we always say don't pray for patience. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is there, and He's going to be working patience in your life no matter what, because that's who He is, and that is a strength and a skill. Same thing with kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so when you think about these things, sometimes we're so egocentric that we jump right to me trying to be that, and am I that? But this is the fruit of the Spirit of the living God in Christ Jesus. This is who He is. And so when He fills His Spirit into your life, pours His Spirit into your life, and you are becoming more and more simply a channel of Him. That's what Paul said to the Galatians when he said, I am crucified with Christ. I died, yet nevertheless I live. Yet, not I, but what? Christ lives in me. So it's His character, it's His nature, it's His strengths and skills that folks are experiencing when they get the letter of recommendation. Okay, so let's imagine you're on a personnel committee or HR department, and your company is looking for a new CEO. And you have been charged with the task of calling the references on a list, and you pick up the phone. Let's advance a little bit. You do a Zoom call. Let's just do that. I hadn't done that in one of my sermons before. Let's do a Zoom call. So you pop up your laptop, you do a Zoom call to this reference, and when you connect with them, you say to them, hey, listen, we are considering hiring this person who has put you as a reference on their resume, we're trying to see if this person is the right fit for our company because we're looking for a new CEO. This will be the person who will be running our company. Can you please give me a clear reference of what you know about this person? And so you see in your computer screen on that Zoom call that they think for a moment and they say these words. If I could say anything about that person, it would be this. The greatest thing in all my life has been to know that person. And without hesitation, without reservation, and with absolute urgency, I recommend that you hire them immediately before they take another position. Now, that's not normally the kind of response you would expect from a reference, but if somebody said that, you would think, my goodness, they're really high on that person. So the question is, when somebody comes to me and they come to you and they're looking for a reference, Jesus has caused our paths to cross because he wants us to be a letter of recommendation for him. And they are looking at our life, how we live, who we are, how we express ourselves, what we're talking about, all the aspect of our life, giving this letter of recommendation. Will what they experience in our life be a message from our heart that says, the greatest thing in all my life has been to know Jesus. And I recommend without hesitation, without reservation, and with absolute urgency that you submit your life to this man's services. And when I was typing up this letter of recommendation, because I like to have something that's actual when I'm in my pulpit, I thought I would write up a actual one like I had written for our students, but I just started typing. And I said those words about Jesus. I recommend without hesitation and with absolute urgency that you completely and willingly submit your life to this person's services. I have known him for over 50 years. And he has never failed to be faithful, forgiving, available, sufficient, attentive, innovative, capable of completing any task with more excellence than has ever been calculated, including raising the dead and conquering his own death and burial through rising from the grave. What he has purchased with his blood is beyond the technological advances and industrial revolutions of all the earth's history. His longevity will literally last beyond the existence of the very earth itself, including the heavens. Feel free to call me at any time to share more. There would never be enough time or document space to say all the good there is to be said about Jesus Christ. He is indescribable, sincerely, and only for his glory. Matt DeBord. My letter of recommendation doesn't always come across that way, though. I hope it does this week. How about you? The Lord's going to give you an opportunity. You know, and it may be just, when I say just, a family member. You say, well, I'm not getting out very much. Well, it may be a family member. It may be a friend. It may be somebody you've never met before. But may our letter of recommendation be one where Jesus is saying, I have a person in whose life I'm seeking a position, the position of king of their heart. And I want them to get a reference about me. And he wants to use you this week. He is listing you as a reference. Let it be that when people read our letter of recommendation, they hear When they look at our life, they see the greatest thing in all my life is knowing Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you would let us know you. We recognize the only reason you do is not because of any goodness of our own, but because of what you did for us on the cross. But evermore, our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving and gratitude and servitude. Lord, that we recognize the only reason we're alive is because of you. Therefore, we give our lives to you as living sacrifices, that they might be holy and acceptable unto you. Father, that we may not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. But Lord, I thank you this week you have in mind to bring an increase to our nation by increasing those who know you as Lord and Savior. And I pray that you will do that through us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The greatest thing in all my life, in your life, is knowing Jesus. Would you let your life be a letter of recommendation for him this week? He wants to use you. How fascinating that he would use us. But he does. Let him use you this week. Would you commit yourself to that? If you need to come and pray, do that. If you need to share a decision, whatever the Lord's leading you to do, you do that now. Let's stand as we sing.